and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. He cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith to Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately while he yet spake cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and he kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, and the elders, and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. So we go from Gethsemane to the fire, where Peter sits and waits as Christ is about to undergo his first trial with the religious authorities. Well, let's go back to Gethsemane, and something that I feel should never be overlooked, and to me, one of the most comforting passages in Scripture. One of the most comforting passages in Scripture. Jesus Christ, who knew all things, who knew God would raise him from the dead, who knew that the end was better than the beginning, and that everything he was going through was for the glory of God, and that he himself would be glorified in it. And it's what he came to the earth. What shall I say? You know, that this hour should pass from me, but this is the hour for which I came into the earth. He began to be sore amazed. And that means like astonishment. The gravity of the hour started to come on him of what was about to happen. He could see it clearly. And he began to be very heavy, weighed down deeply, depressed. He began to just feel the weight of it all on him. And I don't care, you know, and to me what this says is that, you know what, as a Christian, it's okay to have heaviness. You know, as it says, we are, broken but not destroyed, so to speak, that we are cast down but not destroyed, I think it was, or something like that. You know, it's like I'm broken up, but I'm not broken in pieces. You know, I'm sad, but I'm not forlorn. You know, and meaning that it does go to a certain point, but we still maintain our faith. But we still feel feelings that are natural to men, as Christ himself felt it. He felt, like any other man, the weight of the impending horror, the anxiety that would naturally be caused by seeing, you know, the truck bearing down on you, by seeing the blade being drawn to your neck. It causes a natural anxiety, a natural physical revulsion to it. And in the heart even felt that no man seeks to destroy his life but to preserve it.
Well, what about suicides?
No man in his right mind. It means under all, because that's actually a quote from somewhere, you know, that man cherishes his body. He doesn't hate his own body. It's by nature. We have to overcome that nature to destroy ourselves or to neglect ourselves. We have to overcome our natural predisposition to take care of ourselves. We have a natural disposition. Now, through all kinds of trauma, we can absolutely lose sight of it, of course. Jesus is going through a trauma here, whereby he feels the weight of the evil that's coming on him, the evil day, the evil hour. And he prays that it might pass from him. That is his will, that the hour that he would be suffering on the cross, that it could pass. All things are possible to you, Father. Take away this cup. I don't want to drink it. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. So he is submitting to the will of the Father, at the same time, not wanting to do it. Would you want to do it? Would you want to live righteously and then suffer a horrible death for other people? So Christ did not want to do it. And it's interesting that in Romans, it says he hath subjected the creation to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of hope. The creature is not willing to be subjected to the things God subjects it to, but by reason of hope, God has subjected it. And Christ, understanding this, also gives in to the Father and says, not as I will, but as you will. According to your will, because that's what Christ came to do, was to do the will of God. That's why, in the Spirit, all the disciples were also willing. Oh, we'll go down, we'll go with you, man, right to death. And he's like, yeah, you say it. I'm not even willing to do it, but I'm going to do it. You know, and think about it. They're saying, we'll die with you. And he, to him, in his mind, he's thinking, and I don't even want to. I don't even want to. I don't want, would you, like I said, why would he want to do that? He was born to be king. He was born to be crowned. But he knew better than anybody what's required of a servant. And so he laid his life down. He laid his will aside and subjected himself to the will of the Father. And to those who, from my former teacher who could possibly be listening, who would say, that Christ was praying not that they would take away the cup of the crucifixion,